So the thought behind this material, I hear, and I'm sure y'all have too, other people talk about themselves, to themselves. I do it too occasionally. I'll make a, when you get frustrated with yourself and or how other people reference someone else in times of frustration or anger. When I hear references, or when I do it, I have to stop and think, okay, stop saying things like that about yourself or about someone else. Whether just so dumb, different things like that. We're not dumb. We are smart, intelligent people. We may have talents that we are not as good at as other people. One of my talents is not art. Joanne's talent is art. That's just not a talent that God made me specialize in. And that's okay. I own that. I know that. But I'm not dumb. I'm not incapable of doing something. And so that kind of was the springboard to my lesson, to today's lesson. And so just some thoughts that I wrote down in doing this and how I came up with it. And I would love to hear y'all's feedback. So this is, I'm encouraging everyone to give feedback. But question number one was, are there words that you hear coming out of someone else's mouth that just make you want to cringe and just put your hand over their mouth and don't say that? I'll go with first. Some of mine were stupid, idiot, dumb, ugly. Those words just coming out of someone else's mouth, directed at someone else or directed at themselves, just make me want to cringe. Any other thoughts?
Your children say that a lot.
Mm-hmm. Where do you think they hear it? And that's going to be a point that we get to. Yes, Melissa.
I always tell, especially the children, I always say, no, you're not.
Yeah.
You're very smart.
Yeah. Yes. Melissa, and then we'll go to Miss Elizabeth.
There's a mom that I know that constantly tells her child to go away. And that cringing feeling.
Yeah.
Like one of these days, you're going to want them to be here.
Yeah.
Like, stop telling them to go away.
Yeah. No, we want to raise them to be independent, but no, yeah, 2 states away is not where I want them to be. Miss Elizabeth, you had a comment.
I got those words, stupid and dumb and idiot and stuff. I was brought up hearing those words all the time. And so when Elizabeth and I married and had children, we determined those words were not even used in our house.
Yeah.
And I only heard it one time from one of my children, and that really shocked me. But it was
good.
As long as
you're
like that, but still, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I
yeah, yeah. Yes,
yeah. I hear a lot of parents tell their children they're bad.
Oh.
They're bad children. They're a bad boy or a bad girl. There's a difference in doing a bad thing and being a bad person. And so, if someone tells you all your life when you're growing up, you're bad, what are you going to be when you grow up?
Yeah.
If you're really bad.
Exactly.
That's what you expect out of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Matthew 12, verse 33 through 37. Ma, can you read that?
Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned.
So a couple of things from this section that jumped out at me. Yes, I realize there are times Jesus called them a brood of vipers to get their attention. The focus of the material, and there's times where we need to get someone's attention, but it's controlling our words and not controlling our words that I want to bring our attention to in this section and in this class. Ephesians 4:29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. And that if you are teaching and guiding and instructing, you have to think about the words that you're saying. According to the Matthew passage, where is it saying that the words come from, that come out of our mouth? Our heart. Yes. Does it matter to God what words we speak? Yes. We would not have all of the following verses for our instruction and for our caution if it didn't matter to him. We would not have had the Holy Spirit's words put into educational form as far as the Bible for us if it didn't matter to God what we say and how we say it and who we say it to. Matthew 15. Yes.
This Matthew 12 passage.
Yes.
Jesus didn't just call them this and walk off. He didn't just call them a name.
Right.
He explained why he was calling them this.
Yes.
And so sometimes we do have to tell people what they are, mm-hmm. but explain why we're saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean they're going to agree? No. They may not agree. Jesus, the Pharisees and Sadducees over and over call them hypocrites and this and, you know, call them names that they didn't like, but that's what they were. There's a difference in calling somebody a name for a reason and explaining that reason to them, whether they agree or not, than just out of your anger and desperation calling people names that may or may not apply just because you're a man.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. That's a great way to phrase it. Matthew 15, verse 11. Ms. Pat, can you read that?
It is not what enters into the mouth that defiles a man, but what proceeds out of the mouth, this defiles the man.
And Lauren, can you jump down and read verse 18?
But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man.
So, yes, all of this encompasses our train of thought, that we have to make sure our heart is in a place to where we can effectively communicate and not destruct, cause harm for the negative, not just to get someone's attention. What if we're really, really frustrated? Is it okay? No. I hear so many times kids and some adults, they say it, oh, I was just joking. Does that matter? No, you said it. You can't unsay it. They can't unhear it. It's been said. Damage has been done. Can't go back and rewind. Yes, there's going to be times where you will need to tell someone that they are not using their brain in the manner, in the way that God intended. But it's how you say it is what will be most effective and how they will remember it. If you say it in frustration and anger and in words that are going to destruct and tear down, they're going to remember that. That I was just joking part, they're not going to remember that. They're going to remember what you said before that I was just joking. And we have to be careful. Matthew 5, verse 22. Joanne.
But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell.
So again, this kind of goes back to, does it matter to God? I would say yes. Our words are going to, and back to Matthew 12, we're going to be justified or we're going to be condemned by the things that come out of our mouth. And how we teach and how we instruct and how we affect someone. Comment?
I agree with what you're saying. When you read the life of Jesus and some of the things he said to people, and then you read especially 2 Corinthians and how sarcastic Paul was with these people, every situation has to be considered different. And just because you're angry with somebody because of their sin, and you are talking to them in a manner that they feel like you're not kind, does not mean God may condemn you for not doing what you're doing. If you need to confront somebody about their sin, and just sit down and pat somebody in the hand and saying, you know, you ought not to be doing this, that may help some, but there's some that they're just going to laugh at you.
I get that, and I understand that. I do see that. Yes.
I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. I'm just saying we have to be careful.
And every moment will be judged by the moment. I get that.
God judges the far part.
Yes, exactly. I get that. Joanne?
I kind of blown off on that when I read the... I was just joking. I personally, I say that a lot when I'm talking to someone that I don't know your sense of humor. I don't know if you know my sense of humor. And I said something, and I'm like, I was just joking, like, to clarify that. And mm-hmm. I look at it like you were coming across with the mindset of, you know what, I'm going to say this to kind of get a dig in at them and then cover it by, oh, that was joking.
Yeah, exactly.
The intent behind it is, I think, what matters mm-hmm. as well. Because there's a time and place for jokes and laughs and kind of kicking at people, and then there's another time when you're doing it just to be mean.
Yes.
Under that guise.
And then cover it up.
Yes.
Yeah. Any other comment? So, the next question is, what if we're alone in the car and frustrated at the reckless drivers around us that we know apparently got their driver's license from Walgreens or Walmart? We're alone. Does it matter how I get frustrated and yell at the stupid car in front of me because there are no driving people? Yes, I think so. God can still hear us in the silence of a car. He can still understand our heart and our frustration. And now, is it going to be important to the person that's in front of us? No, they don't hear us yelling at them. But how is that affecting us? Are we letting someone else's inept cause us to potentially sin with our words and our thoughts and our attitude? We have to be cautious of that, I think. Yes, ma'am.
If we're doing it in the car when we're by ourselves, we're still going to do it out in public.
Yeah.
And we're not showing love of neighbor.
Yes. James 3, verse 2. Aunt Sandy, can you read that?
If anyone does not stumble in what he saith, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well.
Are we expected to be perfect? Does God expect us to be perfect? No. Should we try our best? in everything that we do, whether it's speech, action, how we treat others, we should try. We should try, you know, 1 Corinthians 10:31. To do our best and to honor and glorify God in everything that we do. Jumping down to in James verse, or chapter 3, verse 5 through 6. The tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For such a small part of the body, it is very powerful and it can be crushing to someone's spirit. You're ugly. I hate you. You're mean. I've heard children tell their parents these things. And that, you want to talk about cringe. Oh. That is not honoring their parents. And that should not be allowed, you know, like you said, those things, not adults telling children, but children shouldn't tell other children. And children certainly shouldn't tell adults that. It can, not only is it disrespectful, but it can cut someone's heart. And thoughts on that? Anybody else? Going back to Matthew 5:22, we read that section. when it's talking about, and I'll just reread it for reference. But I say to you that everyone who is angry at his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Does it matter if it's a fleshly brother, a spiritual brother, or a worldly brother? No. I'm sorry?
It always matters.
It always matters, yes. Even if it's a worldly brother, they're still our neighbor, as you mentioned. And our actions and words could be a teaching moment in how we respond. Yes. If we respond in frank and matter-of-fact, to-the-point words to get their attention, to teach them, you brood of vipers. He taught them with that. He was trying to teach them. But if there's no teaching behind it, then that reflects on us as Christians as well. So we can't teach a worldly brother if we're not following up with teaching. I'm not sure if that point came across the way I wanted it to in my head. James 3, verses 8 through 9. Miss Elizabeth, can you read that?
Mm-hmm. That no one can tame the tongue, it is possessed with evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men, who have been made in the likeness of God.
So, in this section, there are, you know, whether we're talking to someone else or whether we're talking to ourselves, when we look in the mirror or when we're frustrated with ourselves on something that either we can't get it right on something. And I have been guilty of, fine, you're so dumb sometimes. But then I have to, hold on a minute. I need to stop telling myself that. I need to stop doing things like that. We're made in the likeness of God. Genesis 1, 26 through 27. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. And then we move over to Genesis 2, 21. Let's go over there. As soon as I find it. Miss Carol, can you read that? Genesis 2, 21 through 22.
So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man, and brought her to the man.
Okay. No, you're good. So man, and we are made in the likeness and image of God. Well, I guess I just answered that question. So talking about ourselves, and I may be off base and off track, but to me, it still matters if we're talking to ourselves, how we're referencing ourselves, how we're, that self-talk, it can create self-doubt, self-destruction. It can also, self-encouragement. If we're telling ourselves and speaking derogatory about ourselves, if God made us in his image, are we telling him that he created something dumb, something ugly, something not good? In Genesis 1:31, God saw that all he had made was very good. God does not make mean. God does not make ugly. He doesn't make fat. He made very good. Man makes me. So when we're talking to ourselves, I wonder how God feels about that. I wonder, you know, are we telling him that he did a bad job, that he didn't make good? Yes.
So in all things, you have to be careful of the pendulum swing.
Yes.
Regardless of what it is, because on one side you have pride and arrogance, and then on the other side you have, I'm so hard on myself that I become frozen and I'm not able to complete the work that God has sent me out to do. I don't view myself in a proper way. I'm downtrodden. So there's the pendulum swing. We have to find a happy medium in the middle. We want to go to God's word and evaluate ourselves accurately. Looking in that mirror and walking away from it on this far side over here, you're not going to pull yourself to the middle and say, no, I have to be humble enough to do God's work and put him first. The pendulum over here is, I'm not good enough and I can't do what God wants me to do because I'm not one. I don't have that self-worth to be able to. So regardless of what we're talking about, it's finding that happy medium, mm-hmm. not being way over here, not being over here.
Yes, and we know that God has given us all talents. And to that respect of the pendulum swing and not being too full of pride, knowing, just having that overview, there are things that I know I'm really good at. Is that a prideful thing? I hope not. But I also know that there's things that are not my strongest talent. And hopefully I can be somewhere in the middle of that pendulum to know that there are things I can work on. There are things I can strive to do better if I know it's not my strongest talent. But I also know that there's other people that have that talent and are stronger at it than I am. And that is a talent that God gave them. I hope the words that I talk to myself, that I say to myself, aren't words that will tear me down, that will help give me the encouragement to get better at a talent that I'm not good at or I'm not strong in, but not so much, again, the pendulum, I'll never be good at it, so why even bother trying?
I think all of this is rooted in what Jesus said in 10:27, which was from Leviticus, love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a proper view and love for yourself, how are you going to have a proper view and love for your neighbor?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, I may be good at something, but I don't have to go around telling everybody how good I am at that, and you're not. We need to understand that, yes, we do have things that we can do better than others, but that doesn't make us any better than anybody else just because I can do something they can't. It's what we do. Melissa's right. We have to be careful because we're all over the place. We don't have to stop in the middle. But we do have to have a proper love for ourselves and a proper self-esteem. If we don't esteem ourselves, we're not going to esteem our neighbor. Because the love we have, according to God, for our neighbor is based on the same love we have for ourselves.
Maya? James 3, verse 1. Miss Bobby, do you feel comfortable reading that?
Let not many of you become teachers, my brother, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment.
And I'll continue on with verse 2. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, and able to bridle the whole body as well. What does this verse say how teachers will be judged? And this isn't in a, or is this, only in a sense of classroom setting? No. Yes, we do. And if we are making sure that we're teaching in our everyday life and teaching with our actions, because our children learn. All children learn by watching and doing and how we see and how we speak. If we are trying to make an effort not to talk to our children using certain words that will tear them down, but still teach them, but then they hear us talking to other people or they hear us talking to ourselves when we look in the mirror. They've learned something, even though we haven't said it to them. We've said it to someone else, or we've said it to ourselves. They're learning. And so they could be learning that it's okay for them to do that. And hearing a, and I don't know about y'all, but hearing a child, like Sandy was saying earlier, talk to themselves. Oh, I'm so stupid. My dad, he bowled a lot. And whenever he would bowl or throw the ball and it would not go where he wanted it to go, or he released it in the wrong area, you'd hear him come off that approach. Oh, thanks, Johnny. Well, that he said it so often to himself that it became a term of endearment as his nickname, the Big Dummy. Is that really a term of endearment we want for ourselves? And so teaching our children, that's, we have to start in that aspect as well, in how we, what they hear us say. When Dylan was little, I was one of those people yelling at the other drivers in front of me, until I heard a little voice behind me yell at the driver in front of us, "Go, you big dumb lady." Yeah, talking about punch in the gut. So I learned really quick, zip it, Dawn, because he's hearing and learning. Thoughts? Comments? Well, we may get done faster than I anticipated. Y'all need to talk more. So last thought, Psalms 34, 13 through 14. Aunt Susan, can you read that?
Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it.
Now, we can seek peace, but we can also seek teaching someone. And as it's been referenced, there's times where you can be firm. You can be vocal. And you might say something to get someone's attention, but continue pursuing that to teach and instruct, and not just speak out to destroy someone. Comment? Thought?
I have a couple verses to add.
Please.
Proverbs 15 and 28, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. And that one kind of just reminds me to, it's okay not to have that quick reply all the time. Sometimes I need to stop and think before I let my mouth
get me in trouble.
Yeah, uh-huh. Sometimes it does. I put my foot in it quite often. And I liked Proverbs 13 and 3, the one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. And the last one was, everybody talks about the Proverbs 31 woman, you know, mm-hmm. They think, and I like where she opens her mouth in wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. There's a time and a place for that, but when you're thinking of teaching the little ones in Bible class and things like that, there are things that I learned in Bible class when I was younger than Sean that I still remember. I remember the teacher that taught it to me, and every time it comes up in a lesson or something, I think of her. And I think of her in fondness because she was the one that really started teaching me when I was little in Bible class. And that can have a lasting impact on anybody, and you don't necessarily think so in the time.
Thank you. Yeah, Melissa.
So I typically have the opposite problem. I typically have the problem of not speaking up when I need to say something. Again, pendulum swing. You have to find that happy medium between being willing to say what needs to be said and doing it in a way that you're going to get the best possible results.
Be most effective, right.
Be most effective. But be willing to say
what needs to be said in a timely fashion. I'm also bad about that. I'm gonna
think and stew and.
Sometimes it's nice to have that time to gather your thoughts. Mark is someone who will think something, maybe have a question about something in Bible class, or something someone said, and he'll think about it. And then he, it's easier for him to get his words down on paper, like he, the email sender.
Mm-hmm.
He'll sit down, think it through, and type out a response. Mm-hmm. Or if someone says something to him, that's how he processes that, because he's like, if I try to say it in the moment, I don't have all my thoughts gathered, and then I just am like a jumbled mess, and I don't get across what I'm trying to, or, you know, question, and that's his resolution to it. I would put it off. I'm a procrastinator. I wouldn't send email.
Mm-hmm. I almost have to say it in the moment, because if I don't, then it doesn't get done.
Well, even in the moment, you may not have to deal with the whole thing. But at least speak up and let the person know that you disagree,
right,
with what they're saying. And could we talk about this later? Or we will get together and talk about this later. But I just need you to know I don't agree with what you're doing. So some things, you can wait. But some things, if you wait, you've lost your opportunity. Mm-hmm. Because they go away thinking everything's fine. And then when they're still set in their ways by the time you get back to them. But whatever works for you, you have to do. You know, but there's nothing... There's no book, chapter, and verse that says
that. It says when you have to reply and how to reply.
Yeah. That would be nice.
That would be great. Anybody else? Okay. Well, I guess.
The book of Proverbs is full of things about the tongue.
Oh, yes.
So sometimes maybe if we would want to have time to do some reading, read and mark what is said about the tongue in Proverbs.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's pretty amazing what all it deals with.
Yes. I wasn't sure about timing, so I didn't write them all down. I didn't put them all on the lesson.
That's fine.